Chapter 8. The Dietary Sharia. Say, I find not in what has been revealed to me through inspiration forbidden to a person who eats things which are edible, unless it be meat of dead animals, or blood poured forth, or the flesh of swine, because all these are unclean, or in disobedience to Allah, animals slaughtered in someone else's name. Then he who is constrained by hunger, such that he neither desires to eat nor crosses the limits, incurs no sin. This is because your Lord is forgiving and merciful. Surah 6, verse 145. The objective of Islam is to purify all aspects of human life. It therefore insists that besides cleansing the inner self from contamination, care must be exercised in the intake of food and drinks. Only the ritually clean among them should be eaten and drunk. While answering a question in the Quran regarding animals tamed for hunting, the Almighty has spelled out this general principle in the words, "All clean things are lawful to you," in Surah 5, verse 4. As an obvious corollary, all unclean things are forbidden to the believers. While inviting the Jews and Christians to profess faith in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Almighty has referred to the extremist attitude they had adopted with regard to food and drinks in the following words: "And this Prophet allows them as lawful what is appropriate for eating and prohibits them from what is inappropriate for eating. He releases them from their heavy burdens and from the yokes that were upon them." Surah 7, verse 157. At no place has the Sharia presented a comprehensive list of clean edibles. The reason for this is that man's own nature generally provides him with ample guidance in this matter, and, without any hesitation, he is able to decide the right course. He very well knows that lions, tigers, elephants, eagles, crows, vultures, kites, scorpions and human flesh itself are not meant to be eaten. He is also well aware of the fact that horses and mules are a means of transportation and have no role in satisfying one's hunger. That feces and urine of animals are impure things is known to him very well also. His reason and intellect guide him very well regarding intoxicants too. Consequently, in this matter, the innate guidance found in human nature is enough to lead the way. The prohibition attributed to the Prophet ﷺ regarding beasts having sharp canine teeth, birds having claws and tentacles in their feet, jalala, and tame donkeys is merely a delineation of this innate guidance. The prohibition of liquor is another directive which is based on innate guidance. During the time when the Quran was being revealed, when people repeatedly asked about certain benefits that it had in that time, the Almighty revealed in the Quran his answer by saying that the sin it incurs is much greater than its benefit. Surah 2 verse 219. Later in Surah Ma'idah, it was explicitly stated that liquor is from among the filthy works of Satan and a believer should totally abstain from it. Believers, this liquor and gambling and stone altars and these divining arrows are abominations devised by Satan. Avoid them that you may succeed. Surah 5 verse 90. In short, all these prohibitions are found in the innate guidance a person possesses ever since his birth. No doubt, at times, human nature becomes perverted, but a study of human behavior shows that generally people do not falter in this matter. It is for this reason that the Sharia has not given any original guidance on this matter. In this regard, the Sharia has provided guidance on animals and on things related to these animals where human beings were liable to falter. The pig is a quadruped beast of the same genre as the goat, sheep, cow, and cattle. However, it consumes meat like other carnivores. Should it then be considered forbidden or not? Should animals which are slaughtered in a way that all their blood is not drained out be eaten or not? Is the blood of animals impure as indeed are their feces and urine? If animals are slaughtered by taking the name of someone other than the Almighty, can they still be eaten? Since human nature is unable to come up with a decisive answer in this regard, therefore the Almighty guided mankind in this affair through his prophets and informed them that the flesh of the pig, blood, meat of dead animals, and animals which are slaughtered in the name of someone other than Allah are also impure and unclean, and therefore people should abstain from them. In this regard, these aforementioned four things have been primarily discussed by the Sharia. The Quran at various places, by employing various linguistic expressions, has unequivocally stated that only and only these four things are prohibited by the Almighty. This directive stated in Surah An'am, quoted in the beginning, is also mentioned in Surah 2 verse 173-4 and Surah 16 verse 115 with a slight difference in words. then in Surah Maidah, certain aspects of the directive have been explained. The first thing in this explanation concerns Maita, the dead. In this regard, a question could have arisen in the minds of some people. Should an animal which died some sort of an accidental death also be classified as Maita, just like an animal which dies a natural death is classified so? The Quran answered this question by saying that there is no difference between the two. Both are forms of Maita. Similarly, the Quran clarified that an animal killed by a wild beast is also Maita, except if it is found alive and then slaughtered in the ceremonial way, dhib. The Quran says, "Forbidden to you for food are meat of dead animals, blood, the flesh of swine, and that on which Allah's name has not been invoked while slaughtering, and that which has been killed by strangling, or by a violent blow, or by a headlong fall, or by the goring of horns, and that which has been eaten by a wild animal, unless you are able to slaughter it before its death." Surah 5 verse 3. It needs to be kept in mind that, like other words, the word Maita is used in these mentioned directives according to its usage in the Arabic language. No doubt it has a literal meaning. However, its usage in the Arabic language does not include all the dead, as is the case with its Urdu usage. In such a case, it becomes confined to a certain specific meaning. And anyone who is aware of this intricacy, for example, will never include dead fish or dead locust in its connotation. Imam al-Zamakhshiri writes, "The word Maita mentioned in the Quran must be understood according to its linguistic usage. In the case when someone says that he has eaten Maita, we never include a fish or a locust in its connotation. This is similar to the fact that if a person says that he has drunk blood, we never include liver or spleen in its connotation. Precisely because of such usage, jurists say that if a person swears that he will never eat meat and that he consumes fish, this will not break his oath, although in reality he has eaten meat. Owing to similar reasons about seawater, the Prophet ﷺ is ascribed to have said, its water is pure and its maita is not forbidden. Reference Al-Nasa'i Sunan, page 7, number 59. In other words, these quoted words of the Prophet ﷺ also pertain to dead fish and certain other similar things which cannot be regarded as maita as far as the usage of the word is concerned, but which are maita in the literal sense of the word. It is evident from Surah 5 verse 3, the verse just mentioned, that the explanation of the word maita and the words, except if you slaughter it in the prescribed way, after what has been eaten by a wild animal, that the only form of death that does not make an animal maita is tadqiya. Tadqiya is a sunnah established by the prophets of Allah, and as a term means to slaughter an animal in such a way that it drains out all the blood in the animal's body, and the animal dies because of this very reason. It is only this method of killing an animal which cleanses its meat from the impurity of blood. The correct methodology for tadqiya is dhib, or nahr. Dhib specifically concerns the cow, goat, and similar animals, while nahr specifically relates to the camel and animals similar to it. Dhib means to cut the throat of an animal, such that the gullet and the throat is slit open, or to cut the throat and the jugular veins. Nahr means to pierce the throat of the animal with a sharp-edged weapon like a spear, so that blood bursts out from the wound and the animal dies because of blood loss. If it is not possible to adopt these outline prescribed methods of slaughter, then the Prophet ﷺ has directed the believers to use any other thing to inflict a cut on the animal, such that all the blood is able to drain away from that wound. Adi ibn Hatim says, "O Messenger of Allah, is it okay to slaughter a prey with a stone or a piece of wood if the prey is at hand and we do not have a knife to slaughter it?" He replied, "Drain out the blood with whatever you have and take the name of Allah on it." Killing a prey with a gun or an arrow would also be conditional to what has been said above. If a tamed animal cuts open a prey, its case is also similar, as explained by the Almighty in the Quran. If such an animal is not found alive, then also it should not be considered as maita. They ask what is lawful to you. Say all good things are lawful to you, as well as the prey of the beasts you have taught, training them as Allah has taught you. So eat of what they catch for you, and before you let loose the beast to catch the prey, pronounce upon it the name of Allah. And have fear of Allah, swift is He in taking account. Surah 5 verse 4. It is evident from the context of this verse that since the verse preceding it states that an animal has been cut open by a beast, is only allowed to be eaten if it is found alive and then slaughtered in the prescribed way, it was but natural that the question should arise, is such an animal allowed to be eaten as has been pounced upon by a tamed beast of prey, and the animal dies before one gets the chance to slaughter it in the prescribed way? The verse answers the question in the affirmative and says that cutting upon of an animal by a tamed beast of prey is tantamount to tadqiya, and therefore it can be eaten even if it has not been slaughtered in the prescribed way, with one condition. The tamed beast of prey has preserved the prey for his master and has not eaten from it. In case it has, then such an animal should not be eaten. This condition is stated in the words, "What they have preserved for you." Moreover, in this regard, there is no need to discriminate between tamed beasts of prey and tamed birds of prey. Birds like falcons, eagles, and hawks also can be tamed for catching a prey. The Prophet ﷺ is reported to have explained this Quranic purport in the following words. When you release your dog to catch the prey, take the name of Allah while doing so. If you then see that it has not killed the prey, slaughter it in the prescribed way and take Allah's name while slaughtering it. If it has killed the prey but did not take a bite, then you can eat it since it has preserved it for you. However, if it has eaten from the prey, then such a prey is forbidden for you, because the beast of prey has in this case preserved it for itself. And if you see other dogs besides yours who have also killed the prey, then do not eat from it since you do not know which of the dogs has actually killed the prey. Reference An-Nasa'i Sunan, page 594, number 4268. Besides the word meta, the other two things mentioned in the verse, Surah 6 verse 145, are drained out blood and pork. As far as the prohibition of pork is concerned, it needs no elaboration, while in the case of the prohibition of blood, it needs to be kept in mind that the meaning of the words, blood poured forth, have a linguistic usage in the light of which they should be understood. Spleen and liver are nothing but blood, yet usage of the word entails that they not be included in its connotation, as has been pointed out by Al-Zamakhshiri quoted earlier. The adjective poured forth, which qualifies blood, shows that the blood which is left in the blood vessels of the animal is an exception to this directive. In this list, the fourth and last thing is the meat of an animal while slaughtering which the name of someone other than Allah is invoked. The verse itself explains that the reason for the prohibition of such meat is not the impurity of the animal, but the defiance of the person who slaughters the animal. Since slaughtering an animal while invoking the name of someone other than Allah is an idolatrous practice, it has been termed as defiance, which is a form of an impurity pertaining to one's beliefs. Consequently, sense and reason demand that anything which contains such impurity should be analogously included in this prohibition. So on this very principle, the Quran has prohibited certain other similar things. And what is slaughtered at the stone altars and forbidden also is the division of meat by raffling with arrows. This is an act of disobedience, Surah 5 verse 3. While explaining this verse, Imam Amin Ehsan Islahi writes, Nasab means the stone altars on which sacrifices and offerings are made. There were several such altars in Arabia where sacrifices were offered to please numerous deities, demons, and the jinn. The Quran has also prohibited such a slaughtered animal. It is evident from the words of the Quran that the real reason for their prohibition is merely to please a deity or to seek its nearness. It is of no consequence whether the name of Allah has been invoked or not in such cases. If this prohibition was owing to the fact that the name of someone other than Allah has been invoked during sacrifice, then there was no need to mention it separately, since such a prohibition has already been mentioned earlier. In my opinion, also included in the sphere of this prohibition are the various sacrifices offered in tombs and mausoleums to earn the pleasure of the departed person buried in the grave or tomb. At the time of slaughter, whether the name of Allah is invoked or that of the person buried in the grave or tomb, the real reason of prohibition is not this invocation, but the place at which the slaughter takes place. The word istiqsam means to look up one's share or to find out about one's fate and future. The word azlam means arrows of divination or gambling. The practice of seeking divination from arrows was in vogue in Arabia, through which people would try to find out fates ordained for them. Similarly, the practice of gambling on arrows was also in vogue in Arabia, through which they would procure pieces of meat or some other thing. I have already pointed out in my commentary on Surah Baqarah under verse 219 that people would gather at various places, drink liquor, and in their state of inebriation slaughter any camels they could get a hold of. They would pay the owner of the camels whatever price he demanded. They would then gamble on the meat of the slaughtered camels. Whatever parts of meat a person won in this gambling, he would cook and eat them and drink liquor. They would also generously distribute them among the poor, who would gather around on such occasions. At times, such fights and brawls would emerge in such gatherings as a result of inebriation, which would result in intertribal battles that would last for years and cause a lot of bloodshed. I think that the words of the verse actually refer to this second category. Reference Amin Ehsan Islahi Tadabbari Quran, Volume 2, page 456 to 457. An animal which is slaughtered such that no name other than Allah is invoked on it, but the name of Allah is also not positively invoked on it. While slaughtering also comes under this fourth category of prohibited items, the Quran has declared it to be an act of fisk, or defiance or disobedience, just as it has done so in the case of slaughtering an animal in the name of someone other than Allah. While refuting certain superstitious beliefs of the Arabs about animals, it says, "And eat not that animal on which Allah's name has not been pronounced at the time of the slaughtering of the animal, for this is a fisk. And certainly, the devils do inspire their friends to dispute with you, and you should know that if you obey them, then you would indeed be polytheists." Surah 6, verse 121. While explaining, why not invoking Allah's name on a slaughtered animal or prey make it a prohibited thing? Imam Amin Ehsan Islahi writes, "Firstly, as I have explained in my commentary on the Bismillah verse, any task or routine begun without taking the Almighty's name is without the blessings of Allah. One must take the Lord's name whenever benefiting from His favors, whether big or small, to express gratitude at being blessed with them. If he does not show acknowledgement on such favors, then this is tantamount to extortion and making use of something that actually does not belong to him. Such an unbefitting and unworthy attitude deserves the wrath and punishment of the Almighty. Secondly, the sanctity a life possesses requires that even an animal be sacrificed only with the permission of the Almighty, who is the creator of life. It is only Allah who can give us this right, and, therefore, as a reminder of this fact, it is necessary to take His name when the life of an animal is taken. If God's name is not taken while slaughtering an animal, or if someone else's name is invoked, or if besides His name, someone else's name is also taken, then this amounts to violating the sanctity a life has and also showing disrespect of the Almighty Himself. Thirdly, this practice closes the gateway to polytheism. Those who are aware of the history of various religions know that animal sacrifice, making offerings, and making vows on them is deeply linked to worship rituals. Because of its importance, it has received great support and patronage in polytheistic religions, people and nations who have been incriminated with honoring and venerating some deity, have gotten themselves involved in various forms of animal offerings and sacrifices. The Quran records Satan's challenge given to the Almighty, in which he openly told him that he would lead people astray. The challenge specifically mentions this form as a means to procure his objective. To close all these doors to polytheism, the Almighty made it obligatory that His name only should be positively taken while sacrificing an animal. Anyone who does not follow this practice is not only doing something forbidden, but also the animal upon whom he has committed such an excess is forbidden. The same prohibition applies for a slaughtered animal or prey on which, although the name of Allah is taken, but the person who takes this name does not believe in God or subscribes to polytheism by associating other deities with him. At the time of slaughter, obviously, no distinction can be made between indulging in polytheism by invoking the name of someone other than Allah and the slaughtering of an animal by a polytheist. For this very reason, besides Muslims themselves, the Quran has only allowed animals slaughtered by the people of the book since they originally subscribed to monotheism. The Quran says, "All clean things have this day been made lawful to you, and the food to whom the book was given is lawful to you and your to them." Surah 5, verse 5. This completes the discussion of prohibited items. It is only in compelling circumstances that one is allowed to benefit from them, and that too with the conditions that a person neither craves for them nor crosses the bounds by going beyond his essential need. The Quran has used words to state these conditions in Surah Baqarah and Surah Nahl, while in Surah Ma'idah the words are slightly different. then he who is constrained by hunger to eat what is forbidden, without showing inclination to sin, will find Allah forgiving and merciful. Surah 5 verse 3. While explaining this, Imam Amin Hasan Islahi writes, "The word used means hunger. To be constrained with hunger means that a person reaches the state that he is left with no other option if he is to survive but to eat prohibited items. In these circumstances, he is allowed to benefit from any of the prohibited items in order to save his life. This condition is imposed by the word which at other places is mentioned, which implies that neither should he eat such items with the fondness of heart, nor should he eat more than what is essentially required. The condition mentioned in the word shows that where other alternatives exist, the excuse that halal meat is not available, as is the case in parts of the US and the UK, is not justifiable enough to benefit from prohibited items. Meat is not essential to keep a person alive. Other forms of food can not only keep a person alive, but also give him good health and vitality. The condition implied by the words used shows that a concession is a concession, and what is prohibited in every form. Neither should a prohibited thing become a sought-after and cherished item, nor a concession an eternal permission to benefit from. Consequently, it is stressed that one should only benefit from prohibited edibles just to combat compelling circumstances. If a person takes into consideration these conditions and then benefits from a prohibited item to save his life, the merciful Lord would indeed forgive him. However, if he takes undue advantage of this permission by having a relishing meal from it, then he should be ready to face its consequences, for this would not be a legitimate excuse on his part when he stands up on the Day of Judgment to give his account to the Almighty." Reference Ibid, Volume 2, page 458-459. All these things enlisted are prohibited as edibles. As far as their other uses are concerned, they are totally allowed. No believer should have any doubt in this regard. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that this is something which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself once pointed out. A goat was given in charity to Maimuna's maid. The goat died. It so happened that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by. Seeing the dead goat, he said, "Would that you had taken its hide, tanned it, and then made use of it." People said, "It is a dead animal." At this the Prophet declared, "Only eating it is forbidden." Reference Muslim al-Jami'a al-Sahih, page 156, number 806.